Amen. Thank you, choir. Take your Bible and turn with me to the Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, as we're looking at life keys as we go through God's Word, and I'm excited about sharing that with you, but I'm a little sensitive. I hate to, well, it's a good Sunday because we've got a lot of people who are traveling, and so let me just bring this gripe to you. Some of you have been saying, and I sometimes things get back to me. Some of you have been saying that my preaching lately has been a little spineless. And, well, this is the reason I had my spine removed some time ago. And we've not been able to get it worked out to have it put back in lately. So I just brought it with me this morning so I wouldn't be spineless. The truth is, when we talk about our life before God, there are many life keys. One of those life keys, well, let me rehearse them with you. In fact, bring them up on the screen. We've talked about three of them already. Coming out of Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 1 and 2, and then 3 and 4, and 5 and 6 last week, and now 7 and 8, the life keys that we've talked about is one, if you want genuine peace in your life, not just the absence of conflict, but abiding peace within your life, then the key is to implement God's Word, whatever it says, however it presents itself to you. The second key that we found is that you need to put kindness and fidelity within your life as if they are the genuine, well, not as if they are, they need to become the genuine marks of your character, because when you do that, God is favored and gives you favor, not only with God, but also works that favor out with other men. Thirdly, you understand that when you come to trust in the Lord, completely relying upon Him, that God ensures your proper destiny, that you end up at the place you need to be. This morning, as we talk about what God wants to do in our life and the keys to what God wants to do in our life with His blessing, the key becomes this. If you want to know the fullness of health and wholeness within your life, then what you need to do is make sure that you are correctly aligned in your life with the Lord. And therefore, we've got a little spinal column to help us understand correct alignment. Now, here's what the Word of God says. Chapter 3, the book of Proverbs, beginning with verse 7. Look at it with me. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it will be a healing to your body and a refreshment to your bones. Pretty clear word, pretty important word, if you want to know the genuine health of the Lord. Let's just begin with the first part of it. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. And it's really pretty simple. You can do life your own way. That is, fighting and scratching for advantage. You can go screaming, you know. Or you can do life God's way. You can enjoy His peace and You can seek to forgive. You can want to learn what He has to teach you. And God says that when you are wise in your own eyes, what you're going to end up with is a lack of wholeness in your life and even sickness in your life. When you begin to do life God's way, supernaturally, and just by the virtue of His creative power within you and the way He made you, there's a sense of wholeness and fullness and peace that we've talked about before that brings health to your lives. You can figure you know it all. You're wise enough to navigate your life and your love and your family and your work. And in your eyes, you can map it all out. Or you can understand God, who sees the end from the beginning, who put it all together and put you all together and knows how you work and knows how the world works. And you can place yourself in His hands as Lord, and let Him work it out. The choice is yours, wise in your own eyes or wise in the eyes of God. What's neat is that when you began to seek to align yourself up with God and place yourself in the proper alignment with Him, then ultimately the way God thinks becomes the way you think. And your thoughts follow His thoughts. And the things that He desires to do in you and through you and for you become very natural to you. But they are not to begin with. In fact, one of the problems that's brought up within this passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, is what I simply call functional atheism. And functional atheism aligns you for absolute failure. What I mean by functional atheism, well, look at the verse with me. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And the proverb is written to people who profess God and know Him, but who live as if there is no God. In fact, turn with me to another passage of Scripture. Look at Psalm. You're in Proverbs, and just before Proverbs, there's a psalm. Look at Psalm 53 in verse 1. Now, it's a famous passage. But in Psalm 53 in verse 1, here's what it says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's as far as we need to go in that passage, but what I want you to notice is what the fool says. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. He doesn't say it out loud necessarily. He says it in his heart. Again, the Psalms and the Proverbs are written to a people of God. They're written to Israel. They're written to the nation that God has chosen. They're written to a worshiping people. They're written in order that the worshiping people may fellowship and know God and walk in Him. And yet here's a verse within this song, the psalm, that is saying the fool is the one who says in his heart. When you and I read that, we usually read it as if it is talking about the overt atheist who is standing up within our marketplaces or within our academics or within our neighborhoods and saying, hey, look at me, I do not believe in God. We think it's talking about the person who's written the latest atheist Bible or who's written the latest scientific or pseudoscientific work to try to disprove God. And we go, of course, that person is a fool. They do not acknowledge God. But the passage of Scripture says the fool has said, not openly, not plainly, not written a book about it, but has said in his heart. That is, he is a functional atheist, very likely confessing God with his mouth, but denying God in every other way. If someone were to say to you, do you believe in God? Probably the vast majority, 99.9% of the people who are in this congregation today, who worship regularly in this congregation, would say, absolutely, I believe in God. But when God speaks, do we obey? When God says, I want you to walk in this way or abstain in walking in that way, or I want you to go and do this, do we ignore it? Do we read God's word as if He is a living God who knows exactly what we need, who we are, and how we are to function? And do we scour the pages of God's Word in order to find out what works for us and what the Creator of our lives has created us to be? When we do not, when we ignore God's Word, when we do not search out God's Word, or when we know God's Word says one thing and we do something exactly the opposite, we are in essence functional atheists, because it doesn't matter to us whether God exists or not. We're ignoring Him. Let me describe the functional atheist. This is a person who believes in God or confesses a belief in God, but does not trust the Lord. The fear of the Lord, our proverbs said, is the beginning of wisdom, or the Word says. In ours, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is confusing, because we think sometimes that that means to just not approach God because we're afraid of Him, or to tremble in His presence. And though there's something of the nature of that in this word, fear the Lord, that's really not what it means. It means to hold God in reverential awe, in such awe, in such an elevated place, that when He speaks, we listen. When He directs, we follow. That's what it means to fear God. And to understand what it means to fear God, then, what we can do is compare and contrast that with someone who is obviously not fearing God. And what that means is they're not looking for what God says. And if they know what the Word of God says, they're not doing it. They're ignoring it, because they do not hold God in reverence and in awe. They do not fear Him as judge, nor hold Him in awe as creator. And so they ignore Him. This passage of Scripture calls you to acknowledge Him. But not just with your mind, but with the way you act and with what you do and with the activities that you take. It says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Let me define for you what evil is. In the context of this passage, evil is not necessarily murder. Evil is not necessarily breaking the Ten Commandments with adultery or standing before a court of law and swearing to a false witness. Evil is anything that is contrary to the will of God. So if God is light and God is wisdom and God is knowledge and God is perfect righteousness, then anything that deviates from God is evil in the sense of that definition. And so to fear God means to hold Him in the proper place of awe, to follow Him, and to turn toward Him and away from anything that is counter to who He is and what He desires. That might be turning away with our eyes and turning away with our thoughts and turning away with our actions. And when we are turning away from that which is opposed to God, we are turning purposely to God, who is to be held in reverential awe. The functional atheist might say, I believe in God. He is a higher power. He is the creator. He might even say, and this is the scary part, because it really makes functional atheism more dire and dangerous, I believe, than genuine atheism. Because genuine atheism says, I don't believe in God, and therefore I've set myself up against God. And in a way, for that person, they have set themselves in the perfect place to be encountered powerfully and demonstratively by God. But the functional atheist goes around denying that they are an atheist, and therefore, I believe in God. I may even believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. But when it comes to God instructing their lives and leading their lives, when it comes to submitting to the Word of God, they don't do any of that. All the time placating themselves with the idea that everything's okay, everything's fine, because I believe in God. And there's a real danger, because a lot of Christians are walking around confessing with their mouth God, but not really seeking to follow the Lord. Functional atheism also elevates reason above revelation. Now, there's nothing wrong with reason. I deeply believe that God intended us to be intelligent beings who use our mind and under His authority, our reason, to understand our world and to follow Him. You cannot follow Him without reason. But there is an alignment. And the alignment is God, who created the world, who understands everything, the beginning from the end, is more wise than I can ever hope to be. And when my reason says one thing and God's word says another thing, then I must give place in proper alignment to the Lord. The reason is not steady. My reason is not. Mankind's reason is not. Think of whether it's driving in a congested city or it's making huge life decisions. Think how your reason has gotten you at times in trouble. And think of how suspending your reason has brought you the greatest blessing. I continue to think it is absolutely unreasonable to think that a big metal tube can fly. Is that reasonable to you? It's not reasonable to me. It makes no sense to me. And yet, periodically throughout the year, I get on a big metal tube that weighs thousands of pounds with lots of other people added together who weigh thousands of pounds, and we fly in the air. Now, if I'd said that to reasonable people 1,000 years ago, they would have not thought I was reasonable, but I was insane, right? It's not reasonable. And yet, it works. There are things within God's word that I know do not sound reasonable to you, but because God has said them, become the most reasonable things in all of creation. With following man's reason and not God, we end up with a moral relativism and with making our own decisions about what is right and what is wrong. And the closer we are to those things, the more our nature has been aligned with God's word, the more our reason seems to work. But as we are seeing in our society, society is moving away from those foundational kinds of moral issues. And as we do that, it is no longer reasonable to the vast majority of our society to even do what we considered reasonable just a generation ago. God gives objective standards, and His is infinite wisdom. Functional atheism confesses without faith. It elevates reason beyond revelation, and it seeks to have a Savior without submitting to a Lord. That is, I want Jesus to be my Savior, but I'm going to continue to live life according to my own understanding, my own dictates, my own way, and I do not want Him to be Lord of my life. And if you're walking in that today, I'm going to tell you, you are not in line for the blessings of God. Because what you have done is misaligned yourself, placing God at the bottom and you at the top. Confessing God and feeling like you're okay because you have confessed Him or you believe in Him, but denying Him in every other area of your life. And that's exactly what this proverb is all about. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, turn away from evil, and it will be a healing to your bones. What are we talking about positively? Well, if functional atheism is aligning us for failure, then genuine humility aligns you for whole health within your life. And that's really what God talks about. We talked about last week and the weeks before that the word that's used in this passage of Scripture for peace in the very first verses of chapter 3 of Proverbs is the word shalom. And it doesn't mean a peace that is an absence from war. It's talking about a wholeness of life, a depth of life that is aligned with God so much that there is a wholeness about your thinking and a wholeness about your being and a wholeness about your relationship with others and a wholeness about your relationship with God, so that there is a pervasive peace within your life, not merely the absence of war. The same thing is happening within this passage, playing upon the earlier admonitions in Proverbs 3, 1 through 6. So Proverbs 3, 7, and 8 talk about a wholeness of health that works itself out so that you feel it throughout your body. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Do you know that verse? If not, turn and look at it and mark it in your Bible. It's one of those that is a favorite within my life. It goes like this: humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Then it says, be sober and be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you about genuine humility, because that's what this is all about. Genuine humility, well, it doesn't mean kicking yourself. It doesn't mean comparing yourself to somebody else and putting yourself down. What it really means is properly aligning yourself so that you recognize the authority structures and the creative structures in your life, so that God is elevated to be Lord and God and Creator, and you have placed yourself properly under His authority and His knowledge and His understanding, so that you always acknowledge that He is God and you are not. I remember us talking about that before. In fact, we spoke it together, and I think it'd be good for us to speak it together again today. Won't you say this with me? You are God. You're not talking to me. You're addressing this to Jehovah, to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you would say with me to God, you are God, and I am not. Will you say that with me? You are God, and I am not. Let's say it again. You are God, and I am not. Let's say it again. You are God, and I am not. Now, that confession ought to carry with it a number of things. One, it aligns you properly with God, because He is Creator, Lord, Sustainer. He is wisdom. He is righteousness. He is understanding. And you are none of those things except as you are aligned with Him, allowing His word to infiltrate you and following Him. And as you do, you are placing yourself in what is genuinely a humble position. Not a humiliated position. Not a kicked down position. In fact, in that sense, you've been elevated. Because if you've trusted Christ, the Scriptures say that you have been brought into the family of God. You have been made an heir of God, joint heirs with Jesus. You are a child of God. You are part of the people of God. You are one day going to live in heaven with God. Man, that's a very elevated position. But even in that position, you walk humbly with God in His place and you relating to Him in your place, so that real humility, this proper alignment, means that you embrace Jesus' right to lordship in your life. Remember what we said about functional atheism. Functional atheism may say Jesus is Lord, but when it comes to acting and living, he is the Lord, he just simply isn't my Lord. It may confess that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, but right now you are not willing to say, but Lord, in this area of my life, in this area of my life, in my relationships, in my business, in my worship, I'm not willing to bow a knee before you and allow you to make the decisions and be the Lord of my life. Jesus spoke about that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, verse 21, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform many miracles?" And the scripture says the Lord will look at them and say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, he simply says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" If I'm going to be aligned properly for God's blessing within my life, I not only declare him to be Lord, I embrace his right to be Lord, and I surrender myself to him and say, "You be the Lord of my life. Where you say go, I want to go. Where you say speak, I want to speak. What you reveal in your word I'm to do, I want to do. I want to align myself with you as my Lord." By the way, I do believe that when the Bible speaks of the lordship of Jesus and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, it's essentially saying the same thing. For you can't be full of the Lord without giving him the lordship of your life. Secondly, it means surrendering your right of ownership. That is, I don't own my life. I don't get to choose. Now, the Lord has given me rights of choosing, but he desires that I would choose to follow him. And in following him, I find freedom. In following him, I find direction. In following him, I find meaning. And in following him, I find that he can open the doors of heaven and pour out upon me blessing. And that's what he desires to do. Thirdly, this passage of Scripture says, don't be wise in your own eyes. That is, don't try to make life up on your own. Don't try to live it your way when it's opposed to what God is doing. Instead, fear the Lord, hold him in reverential awe, turn away from evil, that is, anything the Lord would not desire you to do or have, and this is the blessing he's going to pour out upon you. It's key to life. It will be a healing to your body and a refreshing to your bones. Here's the thing. We have to stop seeing the Word of God and the pronouncement of sin as something in which God is seeking to rob us with. He's not to be the great robber in our life. He is to be the great blesser in our life. So we need to turn from the perils of sin. And that means understanding that just like evil is anything that opposes God and his righteousness and his nature, sin is also that which chooses to rebel against God and his desire. What you and I have to do is make a repentance, a turning from our understanding to God's, so that we understand that anytime we do that which is opposed to what God has planned, when we disobey his word, when we seek to live our relationships out in a way that is not according to God's word, when anything you choose within the word of God, what we are doing is breaking the alignment under which God has created us. It would be like deciding that we're going to leave church today and going. How many of you came to the church in a vehicle of some kind? Let me see. Okay. That vehicle probably has some kind of manufacturer's instruction. How many of you recall finding that when you got the vehicle that you came in? Remember? How about if when we leave here, we provide everybody in the church with a gallon of salt water? And what we like for you to do, and the reason we want you to do it is because it just seems like it would be fun. And you take the gallon of salt water, and what we'd like for you to do is pour that in the receptacle called the gas tank. Would that be okay? But it's fun to do that. But you'd mess up your car. Well, that's sin. When we do things that God has instructed us not to do, what we're doing is pouring salt water in the place where the gas goes, and that means you're not gonna go. You cannot turn to the Lord without turning away from evil. That is, from doing the things God would not want you to do, or from turning, how do you say this? You need to do the things God instructs you to do. For when we sin, we mess up everything God has in store for us, and we take away from Him the blessing He desires to give to us. We mess up the alignment, and just like if we messed up the alignment in this spinal column, it would cause all kinds of repercussing pain. It's going to cause pain in your life. You say, well, Pastor, the pain that I have has nothing to do with not following God or disagreeing or disobeying His word. It's in a whole other area of my life. How many of you have ever had back problems or back pain? Can I see your hand? When the doctor tells you that there is a problem in this area of your spine somewhere down here, ooh, I touched that. Where does it hurt? If there's a problem within your spine right here, tell me where it hurts. Anybody know? Yeah, thank you, Dr. Rain. It doesn't hurt right here necessarily. It'll hurt down here. How about if you've got a problem where it's hurting right in here? Where might it hurt? Hey, how are y'all? Some of you were waving at me. Yeah, it's going to hurt over here. What I'm telling you is, when you get out of proper alignment with God, it's going to mess up in places that don't seem to make sense to you to be connected where they are. I love this passage of Scripture, and I'll close with it. Trust in the Lord do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It'll be a healing to your body and a refreshment to your bones. The Hebrew of this passage is really pretty neat. It doesn't say it will be a healing to your body literally. What it says is it will be a healing to your navel. You might want to write that in the margin of your Bible. You probably never want to forget this. It says it will be a healing to your navel, and it will be, the word for refreshments is literally in the Hebrew, it will be a drink to your bones. A healing to your navel, and a drink to your bones. And the idea is, and I think, yes, it's meant to be kind of funny. I think he laughed as he wrote it down. But when you get in proper alignment with God, what he's saying is there's a peace and a wholeness and a health of God that works from the outside all the way from the inside to the inside. It takes that sense that you can't walk and you can't talk and you're burdened so much that it relieves you and there's health. And we don't need modern science, although it will back us up to tell us that there's a reality between our mental and spiritual health and our physical health. And what this proverb very practically is saying is that when we get ourselves in correct alignment with the Lord, humbly walking under Him, submitting to His Lordship, allowing His Word to be our rule rather than our reason being our rule, then God brings a healing and a health to our body, our soul, and our spirit. And the wholeness of the Lord is the opposite of the dark, dank doom that pervades the world and causes chaos within our homes, our families, and our lives. And when we began to understand this key to life, it not only opens up the Lord to blessing us supernaturally, but to the blessings that He intended just by the very way that He created us, so that we walk in wholeness when we're under His alignment and authority. I want to ask you to bow with me and pray.